You're listening to the Just Giants podcast with Grump and the Cranky Fan.
Be sure to listen for free on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and Podbean.
Welcome back to Just Giants with Grump and the Cranky Fan, the best damn podcast for the best damn football team. I am your host, the football Grump. With me, as always, is Mike the Cranky Fan. And wow, it's been a couple of days, hasn't it?
It's been a couple of days. I know you're on vacation. I had a little food poisoning, so, you know, just a typical off-season day.
Yeah, so we're going to do a little bit of house cleaning, a little bit of catching up. It's going to be a nice little midweek treat for you guys, and then we'll get right back on schedule on Tuesday morning for you guys. So sorry about that, but we're back at it here. We're going to kind of do the edge group roster assessment here, but it's been a couple days. There's been some free agent news, so we're not going to hold off on that just for a off-season roster assessment. Let's do some news first. But first, I will be drinking along with this episode. This episode is powered by local brewery Jersey Cyclone. And because I am technically still on vacation until tomorrow, or I guess midnight tonight, I'm going with a sour ale. And my God, this thing is filled all the way up to the top.
Oh boy.
But here we go. So, some news. Let's launch into this first. The Giants signed Drew Lock from Seattle. There was some rumor, I think, floating around that the Giants sold the idea to Drew Lock that he would be getting a starting position or pushing for one or something like that. But that turned out to be not true. Daniel Jones is a starter. That's not what they said. I don't know. Whatever. Doesn't really matter. I don't think either one of us would have believed that anyway, right?
I think when you're in the league as long as Locke has been around, you kind of have an honest assessment of what you are in this league. And, you know, knowing that a team wants you that has a quarterback currently with 3 years left on, you know, how many millions of dollars they're paying him. He knows where they're drafting. He knows the buzz that they may be trying to draft another quarterback. He knows he's not being brought in to be the starting quarterback. So I didn't believe that for 1 second. That sounded like a GM that was scorned and didn't get what he wanted and just maybe a little sour grapes. So I dismissed that as instantly as I read it.
So here's what I do think, though. I completely agree with you, and I think that that's an important assessment right there, that Drew Lock has his own assessment of who he is at this point. Nevertheless, you can look at this situation and see that the Giants are drafting where they're drafting. There's clearly some rumors circulating about Daniel Jones's future with the Giants outside of 2024. It's easy to view this year as an opportunity for himself, right? Like, this could be a one-year deal where if Daniel Jones is not getting it done and they've drafted a guy that they swear to be protecting, or if Daniel Jones gets hurt, I mean, let's face it, there's plenty of precedent for it. Coming in and performing, especially if Daniel Jones gets hurt, because then you can pretty adequately A-B the two quarterbacks, and it makes him look better than he... I mean, you could potentially be still a, you know, quarterback who's not really a great quarterback, but by outperforming Daniel Jones, you know, you can kind of make yourself look much better than you, I don't want to say really are, but you know what I mean? Like, you can maximize what you look like.
Yeah, I think you have a guy where, you know, my complaints about Tyrod Taylor was he was a quarterback who didn't know what he was. He still thought he was a starting quarterback in this league. I don't think Drew Lock thinks that. So I don't think every move has to solve every problem that a team has. I think they got him purely for what, you know, number one, they needed a solid backup quarterback for this team. Number two, I think they have a plan B in case, you know, they don't get the guy they want in the draft. Daniel Jones, whatever reason, is not on this roster in 2025. They have someone who could potentially be a stopgap until they figure it out. I think that's what they're aiming for. I don't think that bringing Drew Lock in makes any change to their drafting plans. I don't think it makes really any change to what they want to do with Daniel Jones going forward. I just think it's more of a safety net for the short term. And if that short term has to be longer than they anticipate or want it to be, nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah, from the Giants' perspective, I think that this is, it's insurance, right? I still think that in the top, with the first pick that they have, whether it be at six or sooner or later or whatever, I think the Giants want a quarterback that they can groom. I think that they've seen what they've seen from Daniel Jones, and if they even if they do keep him beyond this year, I don't think that they're keeping. There's just no way that they're keeping him on the current contract that he's on. They'll figure something. I mean, he's not, even if he stays the full length, he'll never get another contract here, right? I mean, like, years is the most extreme example of them sticking with Daniel Jones.
And I'm sure even if they do want him back, there'll probably be some reworking of the contract going forward anyway. So, I think they like Daniel Jones, the person. I think they might even like his skill set. I just think you're getting to the point now that it comes a risk assessment. And I think it's more of a question with Daniel Jones over his injury status, his fragility he's had and potentially going forward, more than this guy's not a good enough quarterback in the league. It has to be more than that when you are dealing with, you know, $40 million a year at a shot and, you know, the potential to reset that clock by getting a rookie quarterback. So they'll never say it in public, but I believe that the front office has made that same assessment also. And they're thinking about short-term and long-term solutions going forward.
All right. So now that we know why Drew Lock is here, what do you think of Drew Lock? Honestly? Because I see a guy that is a functional backup in this league. I think he's somebody that can, if playing for, you know, 3 to 5 games, can, you know, win you some of those games. He's not going to strike out super hard. I think he can cover a stretch. He's not untalented. I think he's got certainly arm talent, the processing and escapability. Like, I don't know how he fits into, like, the Daniel Jones running element. Like, that's got to be abandoned, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I think we might see some tweaks to this offense anyway with no more Saquon Barkley, where, you know, who knows what they're trying to do anyway. But I saw Drew Lock playing college. I saw him beat Florida. I thought he was a nice college quarterback. I thought when I was watching him, I thought was, this is a guy who could probably be in the NFL for 10 years as a backup and maybe start 5 games in 10 years, but always have a job somewhere. He seemed like a smart guy, one of those quarterbacks that looks good and, you know, is a mid-level SEC quarterback, but probably not going to be, you know, a top third to top half starting quarterback in the NFL. And I think now that, you know, he was drafted, 2019? So now we're talking 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. We're 5 years down the road from that. And, I think he's a solid, capable backup who will do what we need him to do. Again, the Giants roster is not good enough that if he has to play for multiple games, you know, it's not going to matter. The season will be once again lost. So he wasn't brought in to keep this team at a playoff level, you know, and just to hold everything down until Daniel Jones comes back or to take him the rest of the way. He's brought in to be insurance and to salvage, you know, going forward.
Do you think that there's anything interesting to the fact that for the backup quarterback that they went with somebody who doesn't really have the running element to their game? Do you think that there's anything to that, or do you think that that's just – for me, you know, I think that it's interesting in that maybe it's to prevent another Tyrod Taylor situation. You know, if the backup has to come in, that they're going to play a game plan that does not – involve a whole lot of running or, you know, natural scrambling ability from their backup?
Well, I don't know. I mean, backups, you need to be healthy. I mean, that's the most important thing. Our biggest criticism, Tyrod Taylor, was the guy always got hurt as well. I think you just want somebody back there just to, A, finish the game. You know, as much as we love the story of Tommy DeVito, I don't want to see him in a game next year, period. At all. Maybe it's just to they brought in a guy who's less mobile and less willing to use his legs just as a a health issue, or as another safety valve of a safety valve. But I don't think it makes I don't think there's any clue to that of what they want to do with the offense going forward, if that's what you're asking.
No, that's not what I'm asking. I'm coming to the same conclusion as you, as like potentially it was thought of as a precautionary measure to prevent the backup from, when just being himself gets himself hurt. You know what I mean? Just to prevent another Tyrod Taylor situation. Anyway, that's only one guy, and you know, we do think that this is a limited role for Drew Lock, so not going to spend a million years talking about this, and I'm sure it's going to come up multiple times down the road. But the Giants also went out and signed 29-year-old Jalen Mills, defensive back. Most recently with New England, I kind of just always think of him as an Eagle. I would consider him like a decent starter, really good depth. So if he's got to be a starter, he's probably going to be one of the weaker starters in your backfield. You know, veteran presence, kind of knows what he's doing, but you'd be best off knowing that he's rotating in rather than being the guy on the field all the time. That's kind of how I'm viewing this.
Yeah, I think he's the classic in our classifications. As we were going through the roster, he's a good for now guy. He's someone that, you know, I'm not going to build around him. I'm not going to expect him to be fantastic. He's a body that we need. We need to build up the depth in the secondary as much as we need to have game changers. And I think he fills that depth role.
Like, if they were pretending that the Giants had a roster, even if you were competing for a Super Bowl, getting a guy like this, I think you kind of have to get a guy like this on a one-year deal every year. You know, in this situation, the Giants are probably going to use him more in a starter role. I don't think that the draft is going to roll away where they're going to, or the rest of free agency for that matter, they're going to roll away where they're going to have someone who is bona fide, super great, playing in like a slot kind of slot corner, kind of hybrid safety-ish role. I think that he's going to be the best they've got for that this year. But if they were a team competing for a Super Bowl, a lot of times, like, you still have to do this when you're deal for a guy like this to be the guy coming in off the bench. So a move like this is kind of necessary every year, in my opinion.
I agree. And the money is not too bad, right? Was it a year for what?
I don't even know if the money, the terms are out for the money, but it's just a one-year deal. So I can't imagine it's going to be extravagant.
There you go. If we don't even, basically my rule of thumb is if I don't even know what the numbers are at this point, it's probably nothing worth worrying about. It's, you know, rounding numbers on the cap, so that's fine.
Moving on, the Giants also signed wide receiver Isaiah McKenzie from the Indianapolis Colts, most notably with Brian Daboll and the Buffalo Bills before that. 28 years old, he's like a 5'8 slot wide receiver slash gadget player, so he can run the ball a little bit too because he's shifty. He's also a really good returner, both in kick and punt returns. I love this signing because this to me is like a Sterling Shepard role, but I mean, this is kind of like a Richie James thing, but he's actually a returner. You're not just getting a shifty guy to be the Wandale backup or whatever, maybe, you know, Cole Beasley guy. Like, I think that this is a smarter veteran thing where you got him hungry, and he's also, you know, I'm sure he's going to do great things on special teams, whether it's as a gunner or a returner, because we also got Gunnar Olszewski. I love this signing, and I actually think that there's a chance that even though this is a one-year deal, I think that he ends up re-signing with the team at the end of this year as, you know, just added depth or as a core player that wants to be here with Brian Daboll.
Yeah, I remember him back in the recruiting days. I remember when Florida was trying to get him and before he went to Georgia. You know, we have another one of these guys with another one of these number three receivers, two or three receivers that, you know, can do a little of everything that we have. I think once we see how the draft shakes out, I think we're going to see what this wide receiver room is really going to look like. But, you know, a guy who knows what Brian Daboll wants to do in the offense, that might, you know, that's always a help. That, you know, you're not reinventing the wheel with his knowledge on what they're trying to do on an offense. The special teams helps. Like, you like to have more than one guy back there who can do anything. You know, we don't ever want to have one of these situations again like we've had in the last couple of years where we've had to have a starting cornerback or a starting wide receiver, like a wide receiver one returning punts or something ridiculous. So, getting extra depth on your coverage with actually using him in your offense is good.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Having depth at the returner spot is awesome. Experience depth, too. Like I said, this is not just putting Richie James back there because he's got the traits. You mentioned him knowing what Brian Daboll wants out of him. I think that's interesting. I think that it's kind of even better that Brian Daboll knows what he wants out of McKenzie. You know what I mean? Like, he's already worked with him. He's close with him personally. They like each other very much. Read a whole story about he invited him over his home to just eat dinner multiple times, especially at a low point when I think he was benched or something like that in Buffalo. Read a whole really good story about it. Feel bad I don't remember who wrote it. But the point is that they're close. So they have a good relationship. I really think that McKenzie's going to be here for a little while, especially because he's only 28. You know, Cole Beasley was brought in last year, and I feel like he's 40.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of these guys that we brought in are on the younger side of how old you can be to be a free agent, which is good. We didn't bring in many, you know, guys that are 32, 33 for a last hurrah. I feel like we got guys that are, you know, getting into their primes of their careers, which is good.
Yeah, in the first wave there, they definitely got a lot more younger guys with Burns and Runyon. You know, even Singletary's not that. I mean, I guess for a running back. But, you know, mostly younger guys, you're right. They did kind of – so I'm going to take these two guys together. They got two tight ends, Jack Stoll from Philadelphia, 26 years old, and Chris Manhertz from Denver, 31 years old. Both of these guys are blocking tight ends, and I absolutely love this. I saw a tweet from Bobby Skinner that I'm going to have to just, like, sum it up. But it was something that – you know, we were kind of saying in training camp, you, me, Bobby, we were all kind of sitting in that whole area, Justin. When you watched, when they tried to, you know, run their second team and their third team offense, they put Lawrence Cager in the Darren Waller role. And there is no replacement for Darren Waller. If Darren Waller is hurt, you can't run that offense. There's so few tight ends that are that capable that it's... all of those plays that kind of isolate what Darren Waller does, there is no replacing that. And it's a waste of time to try and run that. So what Bobby said, it's like, you know, when Darren Waller goes down, it's just better to lean into the blocking, the run game, you know, get that out of your tight end. At least get something out of that 11th guy in the field. Otherwise, he's a wasted roster spot. And it limits your playbook. So, you know, I love this. Two guys that can block. And honestly, I think when you're a team that can't pass block, you know, or struggle to pass block, it's good to just get blocking tight ends. I mean, why add the tight end as more of a receiving weapon at that point? You know what I mean? Like, as you're building this line, obviously you don't want to stay that way, but as you're building this offensive line and your roster going forward, I just think it's smarter to get these guys on one-year deals or whatever, or however long you want to keep them around. You know, with Jack Stoll being only 26 years old, I could see him sticking around for a little while. I think that this is a really smart move. This is something that I would do. It's not risky. And honestly, I think that they are pretty much done with Darren Waller mentally anyway. I think that experiment, you know, he's playing this year, but mold over retirement. I think they're mostly moving on from that idea at this point, don't you?
I think so, too. I think in my own head, which means absolutely nothing, I think I've kind of moved on from as well. And I'm almost to the point in my brain, like, if Waller comes back, it's like another free agent signing. Like, oh, look, he's back. And even then, I'm going to be watching him in training camp, and I'm going to be looking really closely, like, does he look like he's really trying? Is he really, he really has his all into this? So I'm going to be a real skeptic, even if he does come back, until I see him on the field really making plays and being what we think he is. But in my mind, I don't think that's happening. I think he's done.
How do you feel about this move? I you know, the way I look at it, too, I like the way, you know, with Devin Singletary being kind of that one cut running back that he's just going to, he's not going to dance. He's just going to take it straight up. I really like the idea of getting these blocking tight ends, especially run blocking tight ends.
Especially until we're not sure what the story of Evan Neal is going to be. If we, you know, if he still can continue to struggle at right tackle, he's going to need help. And that help can come in the form of a good blocking tight end. So I think this might be a move almost as much as looking at the hand you're dealt with this roster for next year. And help other pieces in addition to the piece that we're trying to deal with itself.
Yeah, it's an excellent point. And I think that I don't know. I do think that Carmen Brasillo and Jermaine Illuminor are going to have a huge impact on the way that this offensive line works. And let's get into the offensive line here a little bit, because we said this last time, the Giants are going to continue, in my opinion, until I see otherwise, I think the Giants are going to continue to play musical chairs with the offensive line throughout training camp and mandatory mini camp and the spring shit. I think that they're just going to keep doing that. And that means that we're going to get a very good look, A.B., Jermaine Illuminor versus Evan Neal. And I really don't think that they are going to screw around with this year. I think Joe Shane and Brian Daboll got a very cold splash of water on their face. Mainly, and it's, you know, it's, I don't want to say it's through no fault of their own, but, you know, it was a calculated risk. The Daniel Jones injury and the coming right after he signed a four-year contract is a cold splash of water that they are no longer in screwing around mode. There is no more time for long experiments. They need to get something solidified that looks like an NFL product. Like I said, the wins and losses may not be the palpable thing, but it better look like an NFL offense.
You know something? I've never seen a head coach or general manager survive long periods of trying to use excuses. Well, this guy got hurt. You know, we lost our quarterback. This, at some point, they start pointing at you. And you're right. They have to make moves on the margins to look like this thing is going in the right direction. You know, it was such a catastrophic fall from grace last year that it seems like the end of 2022 was not as good as we were. And the end of 23 may not be as bad as we were either. But we're getting into year three. And the life cycle of general managers and head coaches is not what it was 20 years ago or 40 years ago. So if it's not the hot seat, both of them on, they're on the, you know, when you have a car and you can set the temperature of your car, if it's
the
cold
seat
out.
Warmers.
So,
yeah.
So your tush is a little like, oh, feels nice and a little toasty. I think they have some toasty tush right now before we get to hot seat. I think that's a fair way to put it.
Yeah. And
because
so,
it's on their watch right now that they signed Daniel Jones. It's on their watch they signed Evan Neal. For right or for wrong, it's on their watch that Saquon Barkley isn't here anymore. So these are things that, you know, they're going to have to live with these, you know, decisions and consequences, and it's going to keep building up. So we'll see. I'm not ready to make any decisions yet on anything, and I don't think any Giant fan should either. And also, just to get back real quick what you're saying about training camp, I wouldn't make any decisions or my mind set up about anything that we see on any particular snap or series or practice or even preseason game with how that offensive line goes. I mean, if we see on day one, you know, Evan Neal is not the right tackle, there's no reason to say like, well, they're getting rid of him, he's getting cut, or if he is or something. So I think we're going to have to require a little bit of patience. And I think just observe, you know, this offseason and this training camp. And once we get to kickoff on September 10th or whenever it is, that's when we start thinking. But I think right now, I don't want to get into overreact mode, and I know we won't do it, but Giant Twitter has no problem doing it. Like, how that's all going to shake out the offensive line.
I think that Carmen Brasillo having very little I think him not being friends with Brian Daboll the way that Bobby Johnson was, or as familiar, will allow him to have a more honest communication with Brian Daboll about what's there and what he can develop, what he's got. You know what I mean? A fresh set of eyes on Evan Neal, watching him, not just watching tape of him, but seeing how he takes to coaching, how he listens, how he responds to new techniques being taught to him. I think that honest communication from a fresh set of eyes will, you know, I think that it will assist in their decision-making come week one, who's the starter at right tackle, and if Evan Neal is at guard, or whatever the case may be, because it could be. I'm not saying that it deserves to be. I'm saying that they are going to make those decisions, and I think that honesty, that new relationship will help with that decision.
Let's make this as simple as possible. He was brought in here to fix this offensive line. And you can't start fixing things until you assess what you have to deal with. What is the hand I was dealt with? Not from what the previous, you know, offensive line coach said, because, you know, something that offensive line coach was launched. So you need to say with your own eyes, you were brought in for a reason to fix it. Somebody thought you were good enough to do that. Use your expertise, make your honest evaluations, make your decisions, prepare your guys, put them in the best possible position to win.
So the Giants brought in two offensive linemen as well. So in furthering this conversation, we've got offensive guard Aaron Stinney from Tampa Bay, 30-year-old. I would categorize him as a decent starter. I think he was a starter for Tampa Bay last year, but I would consider him great depth. I don't know what role he's going to end up playing this year. They have some serious holes on the interior of the offensive line. I think that the draft is going to play a huge role in that and deciding who ends up getting starting spots. But Aaron Stinney is definitely in line for competition in a starting spot this year. And if that has to happen, that's going to be okay. But they would be in the best position to succeed if he's the first guy off the bench, in my opinion.
Well, he's the only guy in this offensive line room who's actually played in a Super Bowl. You know, he started the one that the Bucks won in 2020. So if you're good enough to start on a Super Bowl team, you must have something. But you're right. That was 3 years ago. This offensive line needs starters and it needs depth guys too. And, you know, you build where you can build. So, again, just throw him into the mix and see what he can do and see where he shakes out. Again, having a new offensive line coach makes it easier for guys like him to come in and to get a fair shake at competing for maybe not to start, or if not to start, to be, you know, in that solid rotation.
Dude, you're absolutely right, because there's no, like you said, Carmen Brasil is coming in here. He's got no favorites, you know?
Right, exactly. He's not bringing in any of his guys. He's, you know, this is, I'm
well,
dealt this
Illuminar, hand. Illuminar is his guy, kind of.
Okay, yeah, but I mean, you're talking about what, you're going to come into camp with what, probably 14, 15 offensive linemen. You want to break it down to like 10. So, yeah, I mean, it's really, you know, what he was dealt the day he was brought in, and then what they brought in during, you know, free agency, and then obviously with the draft will be, you know, that's his baseline.
The Giants also brought in center Austin Schlottman from Minnesota, 28-year-old. I think that he's brought in on a 2-year deal, so I think this is interesting. I think that they're really kind of looking at trying to get a solidified depth piece at center behind JMS. Just somebody who, you know, if JMS gets hurt, whatever, but someone who's familiar. I think that this is smart, too. I don't like the idea, the way they were bouncing Ben Bredesen around with, you know, I hate to be this guy, but center-quarterback relationship has to be more than a guy who bounces around and sometimes, like, his hands are literally in his ass. You know what I mean? He has to be smart. He has to understand the offense. He has to call out the blocking assignments. You know what I mean? Like, I think understanding your backup center and having him here in the offense, not competing for a starting spot, but just understanding his job so that when he has to come in there, there's no breakdowns in protection. The only breakdowns come just from a, you know, inferior amount of skill to the starter. And so I like this idea. I like that he's, you know, been signed for 2 years, allegedly. I don't really know the terms. Maybe there's like a 1 year out or some shit like that. But, you know, I personally think that the backup center position is nothing to scoff at. I think that it should be something that is solid, reliable, and where there's a comfortable relationship with the offense, the quarterbacks, etc.
And inversely, he has played guard as well. So if in an emergency situation, we need a guard, he could do that as well.
Versatility is always good.
Yeah, and a theme we're kind of keep coming back to every time here is that, you know, this guy can play this. Oh, he can also do special teams. This guy is a backup center. Oh, he can also play guard. So we are trying to, you know, stretch out this roster as much as we can.
All right, so then we can, you know, that's been the last couple days of free agency. It's been, I wouldn't say quiet, but no, I wouldn't call any of these big splashes. I would call them all pretty quality decisions, though. I have no issues with any of these. I think that they're all very smart and mostly just not exciting.
That's, if you're not trying to go for it, the thing you want to do is not have to pay for it for bad decisions. And, you know, every one of these guys could be a bust. But, you know, something in 2025, it's going to be okay. Distant memory, we'll start over with these guys. So these are short-term efficient fixes to short-term problems that we have to buy us time for as the core of this roster, you know, matures and is acquired, quite frankly.
So with that being said, we can kind of transition into the second half of our off-season assessment of the edge room. You know, when we did the defensive line, I find it hard to just strictly talk about the defensive line and lead the edge rushers out, and it just becomes weird. So we kind of sort of we talked about, you know, the guys that are on the staff now: Kayvon Thibodeau, Aziz Ojulari, Carlos Basham, Jahad Ward, and we went through and we gave them their sort of designation, and I think we were in full agreement with build around Kayvon Thibodeau. You know, Aziz Ojulari is a good for now kind of guy. Carlos Basham is a move on kind of situation, although they have not yet, and there is no dead cap hit for letting him go.
Just because we say to move on, it doesn't mean we have a pipeline or the red phone right to the Meadowlands.
It's not like it's cut down day.
Exactly.
No big deal.
And also, you know, their replacement may still be getting ready for the draft. We don't know.
Right. Yeah, of course. So, and that being said, Jahad Ward has not been re-signed. We both agreed was a move-on guy. So now when That's we correct. Look at it, it's time to really look at it with Brian Burns in the picture. Mm-hmm. Brian Burns is under contract through 2029. He becomes a free agent. There is a dead out built in 2027. This is a build around guy, right? This is a starter. This is your new star on the defense. If you look at the stars, it's got to be Kayvon, Dex, him, and Okereke, right? And maybe Banks, maybe?
Yeah, he's literally a build around because we invested a lot of, you know, assets and money around this guy. He's not a stopgap. He's not until someone is better. He's one of the cornerstones on this defense for the next couple of years. So he is about as solid as a build around as, you know, Andrew Thomas is, or, you know, probably those two are probably the most solid of the build arounds we have right now.
Absolutely. who'd you say, Kayvon and him or Dex and him?
No, I said Andrew Thomas and him.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Dexter Lawrence, you can throw Dexter Lawrence, you can throw Thibodeau in there also, but I'm saying just for, you know, importance, you know, it's, yeah, he's right up there. He's right up there in that Mount Rushmore.
So I think that when I look at this, now remember, this is going to be a lot more of just four guys rushing the quarterback in this defense. Mm-hmm. You look at Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau are going to be bookends, right? And you have Aziz Ojulari is going to be the first guy off the bench, or maybe a pass rush specialist situation. You know, you find a way to make him the third rusher on the field in some interesting way. You know, I don't know. It still feels to me like they're missing something. Other than beyond, you know, a groomable piece or anything like that. If you're not considering Kayvon groomable and already a starter like I am,
I think he's a hybrid. I think he's kind of he's a bona fide starter, almost borderline star, but I think it still needs more seasoning.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. But I do think that, you know, while I do think it's right to move on from Jahad Ward, he does vacate an important spot in that. You know, I think that they can benefit from having an older kind of veteran guy who's got some pass rush juice to him a little bit, but, you know, he's reliable as a run defender. So, you know, if Kayvon gets hurt for a game or Burns is out for a game or whatever, maybe you're not going to get to the quarterback just as much, right? Obviously, mm-hmm. Your starter's out, but at least you're not getting gashed for a run. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm looking around, and I'm not sure. I'm throwing out a name here, Derek Barnett. I consider him like a run-stopping pass rusher. I would consider him a low-end starter. He's now 2 years removed from an ACL injury that occurred in 2022, I believe. He was cut by the Eagles last season in November, picked up by Houston, let go. I would offer him something like 2 years, you know, a $3 to $5 million contract. Maybe if it's hard to get somebody like him, you know.
How old is he at this point?
28, 29, something like that.
Feels like he's older, doesn't it?
It does.
It feels like he's been around a long time. you know, I guess, you know, ACL years make, or like dog years, it just really makes you feel older. But yeah, I thought he was like in his early 30s.
27. He might be 28 by the start of the season. But
that means we're getting old, because I remember these fools in college, and it's just like, oh, way back when, but I guess it wasn't that far ago.
But, you know, I just look at it, and if Marcus Davenport is getting $6.5 million, you know, he seems like maybe he's a little bit more reliable. But, you know, I could see situations where Derek Barnett has some kind of negotiating power where you might get around that $6.5-7 million over 2 years. Is that horrible? I don't think so.
Well, I guess that the important question I have to ask is, how much money do we have to play with right now?
I mean, there's a lot of contracts that are possible to restructure.
Yeah, I get that. You know, I was curious with the expected restructurings of some of the big ones, you know, what pool are we swimming in right now? Are we in the kiddie pool, or are we in the, you know,
Well, hang on. Let's take if we can, like, I know this is
our show.
This is sort of a bird's eye view of what we're doing over the course of the next month. But if you look at the roster assessment right now, right, just overall, when you just kind of think about it, is there maybe like one more move that you're gonna do? Probably something in the secondary. Like, I don't think that they're gonna add a whole lot of like star power at wide receiver and free agency. I mean, money-wise, I mean, free agency. Like, I don't think they're going to add something that's going to be huge at running back. I think they're pretty much done adding huge moves at the offensive line. I don't think anything else, quarterback with huge money. Corner, I could definitely see corner, or if there's a safety that they really like for this defense, I could see them spending money. I don't know.
But are the big-ticket guys in the secondary still even around, too?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, not necessarily big ticket, but anything that's going to cost an extravagant amount of money, like $8 million or more this year, you know what I mean? And not that that's extravagant, but it's nothing to scoff at, something that they'll probably have to do some finagling. So, I mean, when I look at it that way, edge rusher, an important guy that you'd keep around for possibly 2 years as a, you know, whatever, I don't think that that's like a silly amount of money. Considering, like, I don't think that there's a real major depth problem at linebacker. You know, maybe linebacker would be another one if you wanted to go put your money there.
I'm also thinking too that, you know, since this is the first year of a new defensive coordinator, you know, you're thinking he's probably going to hang around a little longer than someone who's been around for a year or two and might be moving on. So there may be more continuity with the defense. So bringing somebody like that in for like a 2 year deal may not be, you know, might be a little smarter move too. Does that make any sense at all? Or
no, it does.
Am I just reaching for things?
I mean, I don't think that it's something that's like on the checklist as a like
number one. Oh,
right, right, exactly. But it's like, but something, you know, something decisions. Else is like, oh yeah, yeah. Well, that's a good thing. You know, when I look at this defense, I think ideally they want two starters that can rush the passer, and you know, Ojulari is the first guy off the bench. I think is probably fine, but they're really going to need something like that. But also, I don't think that they would be done. I still think that even by adding that veteran guy, that they're going to want somebody in the draft or somebody real young to develop their own way. And I think there's a really outside shot that that's day one in the draft, right? Like, I really don't see, even if they trade back into the first round and the late first round, I would find that very surprising. Would you?
No, I also think that, you know, we say this every year, the wait till the cuts happen. We might be able to find somebody like a surprise cut that we could pick up late in training camp.
That's not really, I agree when we were talking about free agent, but I mean, in terms of the draft, I do think that they want to have a guy that they can develop on the back end regardless. But, you know, I think by getting Brian Burns at this point, that's pretty much nixing out the day one thing. Even if somebody's tumbling, I don't think that they jump in there to be like, why the hell is Dallas Turner still falling? You know what I mean? Like
Edge Rush, at this point, I consider now Edge Rush depth to me is not a day one concern for this team anymore. If there was no Brian Burns, it would definitely be like, you know, if he's out there, that you know they really love a guy and he's available at six, or if they trade down to 10 or something. Yeah, but now I think that there's very team that's not in the playoffs and there's bigger needs, you know, some gaping needs on this team. I think they move on to other stuff with day one.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm thinking as well. So that pretty much rules out Dallas Turner, Chop Robinson, Jared Verse, which I like all of those guys. They would be great guys to have, you know, mixing in there. And remember, Aziz Ojulari, I don't think that they're keeping him beyond this year. I think it would be if they... I don't think that they're investing long-term in Aziz Ojulari. If he comes back next year, it's going to be on a one-year deal or a two-year deal with a one-year out if he has some amazing year this year. You know,
I 100% agree.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not. It's not to say that getting a day one guy would be a stupid thing or anything like that. I just think that in the list of priorities, it's fallen very far now that they got Burns. Mm-hmm. I do think that if a day two guy starts to tumble, you know, somebody who I would grade in the second round is suddenly falling into the third round. Third round, all bets are kind of off. Third round is kind of for that shit. So I could see a Chris Braswell from Alabama, who's kind of more of a run defender than he is pass rusher, but he definitely has pass rush juice. I could see a Marshawn Neyland from Western Michigan, who impressed at the Senior Bowl. He's another guy that seems to take to coaching very quickly, a sponge. Definitely wants to get better, doesn't think he's a star already just because he's got his name out there. And mm-hmm. I could see day three guys like Muhammad Kamara from Colorado State is another one just like that. I think is going to be pretty rock solid in the run game to start, and you can continue to develop that pass rush. Or Austin Booker from Kansas, the exact opposite, somebody with mm-hmm. a lot of speed rush potential that you can develop and then hope that you can build up the run defense part of it as well. Those guys, I could see it happening.
Okay, yeah.
I am on my Grump channel going to be rolling out the Edge Rush video. I was working on it when I started kind of feeling under the weather right before I went on vacation. I was in Charlotte for the last couple of days, so I am coming home fairly refreshed. I did have probably – listen, this is a little thing. You'll have an opinion on this.
Oh, imagine that. I have something for you as well, but go first.
Okay, so I didn't book this flight. So I didn't take Delta.
No.
Took American. That was the second time in my life. And this was flying home, too. I think my pilot just sucked. That was one of the worst landings I think I've ever... I was really holding back chunks coming home. So I'm very glad that right now... that you're getting me in a very good mood. I feel good now.
Sounds like in one piece also.
Yeah. No. It was just bumpy, dude. Like, I was slamming into the chick next to me. Like, I was doing the deep breath, like, in nose, out mouth. Like, I was sweaty. It was awful.
That could have been Delta. That could have been American. That could have been the Concorde. That could have been the Columbia, for all we know. I mean, that just happens. So
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I haven't had a bad flight with Delta.
Oh, I had. Go to my other channel, Cranky Fans Most Miserable Flight Experience.
You fly way more than me, though. That's like saying you don't like science fiction novels and you go to the library and get mad when you find one. It's a library. There's going to be some. In any case, that's kind of all we've got for this episode. This was our Edge offseason assessment. Next week, I think let's aim for tight ends, so that we can flip back to the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, we've got those new tight ends added to the roster. We'd started some of that Darren Waller talk, and I'll work in some of the free agent guys and draft targets that might be still on the market. I don't know. I think they're probably pretty much done for that, but we'll see. Be sure to like and subscribe. Tell friends. iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, YouTube, Twitter, @football_grump, @thecrankyfan. Until Tuesday... excuse me, the Jersey Cyclone coming back at me.
Yikes.
Remember to follow Jersey Cyclone. Great beer, great brewery, small business, just like us. And until next Tuesday, Go Giants. Go Giants.